Party, episode 128 of the Real Life Caddy Podcast. What we got today, Zabo?
Well, we've talked to major golf champions in the past. We've talked to PGA Tour professionals, journeymen. Today, we have an actual real-life municipal club pro in our presence. A club pro that I've caddied for about 5-6 years now.
How exciting.
Yeah.
And we know that Zabo only gets the best of the best.
That's true.
Welcome, Dave Thompson.
Welcome. Good to have you.
Good to be here. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You're a regular listener, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, I probably came in around episode 65, maybe. Loyal since then, and I've dabbled back in the early ones a few times as well.
Okay.
So yeah, he's pretty well trained at this point. You know, he was like, don't worry, I'll pay you tomorrow, but I've been listening to Biden. I'm up on the tipping. Don't worry, you're taken care of. And also, anytime the beverage cart would roll around, anytime we'd have Zabo, we would like something. One morning he brought me a Coke. The next morning they had a bag of Chipotle waiting for me. I mean, he did it right.
Well, as a regular listener, you know how every episode pretty much starts. We have caddy stories. I will start.
Okay.
Because the last couple of days in this event you're playing in, I also had a podcast listener.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I met him.
Sean McLaughlin.
Oh, legendary.
And he was exactly the same. Every time the cart came around, every time we went past the halfway house, he's offering. I said, no, I'm fine. He goes, sure. Whoa. I went, no, I don't want anything. I'm good. He says, oh, but I know what you guys are like. I said, no, don't tar me. Don't tar me with the same brush as him.
Right.
I says, that's Zabo. He wants fed. Not me.
Yeah.
I'm happy with water or nothing.
It's the right thing to do.
But he was in town. It was great. Always wonderful caddying for people that listen to the podcast. However, this lad, Sean McLaughlin from Buffalo, he now lives in Long Island.
Long Island?
Long Island.
He made the notebook twice, boys.
Oh,
number
geez.
One, he saw a lady out there, thick. Not like UK thick between the ears, thick, American thick.
Okay.
And he said, you know a girl is thick when she makes black leggings turn grey. Okay. So I said, that's going in the book, Sean. No names will be mentioned. He said, no, I own that. Yeah. I want full credit.
Full credit. Wow. You get it.
Good for him.
So we got that one as a positive. We get to 14 at the wee course, par 5. I'm talking to his pals over in the fairway. He very rudely interrupted. He's hit his drive down the right-hand side. We know how wet the golf courses are, correct?
Oh, yes, very wet.
So he interrupts us very rudely, type of thing I would do. I said, what do you want? He said, listen, it's 187 to the pond. If I hit 150, will it run out?
Dumb question.
Dumb question.
Add it to the book.
Straight into the book. Yep. So he was up one, down one. But you're out here playing in this little Strixon event, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Every year. This is like, what, five? I mean, you might have missed 1 year, but like five or six years now.
I think it's more than that. I think this is, there was a big thing of debate over the last couple of days was, I think it's 7.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's been a wonderful event, and Strixon puts on a nice show for us. So,
how long has Zabo worked for you in this?
Every time.
Really?
Every time I've been
here. Originally, the way I got linked up with Dave is there was a pro that works at his club or who worked at his club that I worked with in Sarasota, Florida. So at Bentree Country Club, and he went back to Illinois and started working there at his club, and he happened to qualify incentive trip for this event. And
An incentive.
You sell enough Cleveland and Strixon stuff, you get the invite. So I caddied for Rick Nelson and Dave probably seven, eight years ago.
Yeah,
and it's been a good ride since. Rick's since moved back to Florida. He's living the dream back in Sarasota, Florida. But yeah, it's been a good run.
Do you realize how much food and drink you've probably bought Zabo in that time?
Don't total it up. Well,
yeah.
That's enough to feed a small
enough
village.
To keep him happy. That's the goal.
Oh, never happy. Never happy.
There's always more.
There's always more. Caddies, there's always more. How did this week go, boys? Any stories?
Well, you saw the stories. Oh, man. So in this tournament, you got four guys who probably knew each other, right? Because you did a four caddy for 2 days. So we didn't know the other two, but we're paired with them for 2 days.
Oh, no.
Oh, no is right. Didn't take a caddy the first day. They said on the first or second, we should have taken a caddy.
Yeah.
Looking for his ball. This one guy, no idea where his ball was at all. Not even within 40, 50, 60 yards of where his ball was every hole. So we're helping him look. The next day we get to the big course. I'm like, ask the caddy manager. I'm like, so they got a caddy today, right? No caddy. No. I'm like, dead to me. Not looking for one ball. I mean, you dug your own grave.
We made that pact pretty early.
We're not looking for their ball. We're not doing this. It's like, if I'm that guy and out here on an incentive trip, if it's the last penny I have, I will spend it on a caddy to watch this guy struggle around here.
It's the whole saying we came up with a while back, how to be cheap at a free event.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It enhances the experience tremendously. I mean, having an idea of where to putt, you know, and those types of things, the stories that, you know, we've developed over the years.
So much fun. Great. So much fun. Shooting the breeze. I mean, and this year was, the second day was just crazy with the elements. The wind was blowing. You had to factor wind into your putts. I mean, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Nothing worse.
Nothing worse. Oh, it's brutal. It was brutal. I mean, the seventh hole was 99. We were playing it. What were you playing when you got there? We were playing at like 150, 55.
That's right. 160. The boys couldn't. It's very difficult to explain to people how to play in the wind because you're saying here, take your 170 club, but don't try and hit it 170. Punch it.
Waste of time. Yes. So with these guys, that's what's fun about caddying for DT and this guy BJ that he plays with. BJ,
BJ. Don't get too quick in the way you say that there.
But I mean, they can play. They both can play. They can hit it. He can roll the rock. He can make putts. BJ was struggling big time with the putter this week, but this guy BJ is the most high and low guy I've ever met.
Really?
He makes a birdie, chips in for eagle or whatever. He's just hoorah. And then when he hits a bad shot, he damn near cries. He's so upset. Oh, he puts his head down, starts walking, moping, throwing clubs.
I've known him through the years, just from the industry. And then when Rick was leaving Bolingbrook, I called him and I said, hey, would you be interested in coming over and taking over their instruction? And a couple years later, he came over. So I've known him probably since 2015-ish or 14, somewhere in there. But yeah, he's a riot. He's fun to be around. And
he's a gem.
We were chuckling at him. I mean, almost, we'd just give each other a glance.
He's the kind of guy, he would hit a bad shot and it'd be like a delayed reaction. So we'd both look at each other and then wait for his reaction. He'd do something funny and he's like kind of Tourette-ish, like he'd yell something really loud, and it's just hilarious. Just watching his mannerisms. He's a great dude, and he can get it around, but when it's going bad, man, it's...
Is he a club thrower?
Oh, he's a club thrower. Uh-huh. Some good trajectory, too.
He threw in probably about 70 yards on 10, it seemed like. It was a full-on chuck.
Yeah.
And the other two guys you were playing with, were they decent lads or...?
They were fine. I mean, they were okay lads, but just... It was father, son, and the dad just had no concept of where his ball was. I mean, every single hole. And that just, it gets old after a while. I mean,
to ask them 36 times over the 2 days what they shot. You know, what was your score on that hole?
You're keeping score on the app. He's keeping score on the hard card. I'm keeping score on the app. And it's like every single hole, he's like, what
was the par?
At a certain point, just after you finish the hole, say, you know, I had five, I had seven, like you usually did.
Hard work.
Yeah. It was.
That's real hard work.
But it was a fun tournament. We actually had a good run. We were in the mix for a while until there at the end. There was a funny happening on the fifth hole. He dropped like a 50-footer, front edge to a back pin, dropped it. But every hole, every par three was closest to the pin in the tournament.
Was it a good read?
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Actually, that was a perfect
read. That was a good one.
If I say so myself, it wasn't perfect.
A perfect read from 50 feet. Don't believe it. Doesn't exist.
I mean, you got to get lucky to make one of those. But anyway, so I look at the closest to the pin because there's a skins game, and I see 20 inches on there. I'm like, well, the guy tapped in. Of course, you know, it's not going to hold up for a skin.
But good two.
Yeah, great two. And good on you. Because, I mean, it was playing ridiculous. You had to aim 30 yards right, and it was playing 30 yards more than the yardage. So I figured it might hold up, but when I saw 20 inches, no way. He texted me at 11 o'clock last night. He said, you're never going to believe it. That two held up on five. I said, what? I said, the guy missed a 20-incher? He goes, no. The guy didn't know the difference between feet and inches. He put 20 with, you know, the two hash marks for inches when he didn't know one hash mark meant foot.
Oh, no.
Unbelievable.
How many people played in the tournament?
I believe it was 72.
And that group that hit it 20 inches, a.k.a. 20 feet, they were the first group through.
So all the guys, 18 groups behind?
Stymied everybody behind us.
Because we'd one guy that hit it inside 20.
Yeah.
Oh, what a nightmare. Yeah.
That is a nightmare. But he won the skin, so.
Did you win money for skins?
Cash, yeah.
Cash money.
Cash money, homie.
So yeah, tell us about yourself then, Dave. This one is, we've never had, I don't think we've ever had anyone like you on the podcast.
I don't know if we've ever had a club pro at all.
Yeah, club pro guy. Are you club pro
club
guy?
Club pro guy.
You could be. Or, I mean, he's from that general area, right?
He's pretty good, isn't he?
So where are you? You're Chicago.
Outside of Chicago, and the club's in a city called Bolingbrook. It's Bolingbrook Golf Club, and been there since 2014. And actually, tomorrow is my 10-year anniversary at the club.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of fun.
What are you going to do for it? Are they going to throw you a big party?
I'm going to go to work and pull carts, and
are they going to give you some recognition for that? Or
we'll see. Yeah. I'm not sure, to be honest. I'd hope so.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe a surprise party. Nice. We're a 18-hole. It's an Arthur Hills facility. Our clubhouse is 76,000 square feet.
Got to get that extra 6,000 in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, 70 is just not enough, so go a little more. And we do maybe 25,000 to 30,000 rounds a year.
Because the season's short, isn't it?
Season can be short, but we do that almost intentionally just to keep rounds a little bit down. We're a little higher end in our area, so it's you know, the place is a locomotive. It constantly is going on. Our banquet area is just cranking all year long, cranking.
Oh, so what is the season in Chicago?
Well, right now we're open, so this is unusual.
No temporary greens? Like you're open?
We're open, yeah.
Because I used to watch ER, and the snow was there a lot.
I was thinking it's
6 month season.
Yeah, opens in like late May and closes in end of September.
I mean, we shut it down December 23rd this year, so that's pretty late. And then we opened last week, so that's pretty unusual as well. So it's this year's probably going to be a pretty long season.
Did you grow up there in that area?
No, originally from Minnesota. Lived there until I was about 15 years old and moved to Chicago in 88.
Nice.
Had a short stint in Arizona where I got into the golf world. And when I was down at a 36-hole resort in Arizona, and when I moved back to Chicago, I worked at a club for about 7 years and then ran my own landscaping company for a few years and got back into golf after that. And
nice. Did you get your PGA membership in Arizona?
I did.
Where was the course there?
Gold Canyon Golf Resort.
Does it still exist?
It does. I just played it last week.
Oh, fantastic.
Or that's where I played Monday.
On Monday?
Yeah.
Nice. Did you play in school growing up?
I did not. No. No, you know, just kind of a range rat type of thing. And then when I went to Arizona, I went there, and I think in 97, really couldn't even break 90.
Seriously? Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
surprising.
So when I got there.
Zabo said you still haven't shot broken 90.
It felt like it yesterday, let me tell you.
It was tough.
But yeah, when I got, and then, you know, just living and breathing golf,
I
kind of got better pretty quick. So
nice.
Yeah.
And have you played much competitive golf in the PGA professional capacity?
No, I don't get in those very often. For me, most of them are maybe an hour away, 45 minutes away. And it's the alternative of, can I take a day off or do I want to drive up there, spend a few hundred and play in a tournament that, because we got, you know, there's some very good players. Well, in every section, there's good players, but I'm not quite there.
I'm going to get straight in to the meat and gravy here because as a regular listener, certainly been around the Zabo for this number of years. A few things about hole-in-ones. Have you ever had any?
I have not.
Zero?
Join the club.
I've got a bag of almosts, but no, never went in.
Have you played many par three courses?
Yeah, I've played a couple.
Have you had any hole-in-one in par three courses?
I have not.
He's just said he never had a hole-in-one. Of course, he would have claimed it had he had one.
Where are you? Okay. Take your loyalty away from him, right?
Okay.
Where are you on the debate whether a hole-in-one in a par three counts? Like
so I thought about this. We played the Hay on Tuesday, and I thought a lot about it. And I thought, you know what? If I made one from 88 yards or whatever the yardage was, I think I'll count it.
Desperate. I think it was 38. 48.
48, yeah.
48. He adds on a yard every month. Okay.
Gets longer.
Have you ever worn white pants?
I've never worn white pants.
He really doesn't have the figure for that. Let's face it.
Well, a lot of people that wear them don't have the figure. That's the point.
Very valid point.
And then white belt?
Not in a long time. Back in the day, I did wear a white belt.
Back in the 80s?
Back in the, early 2000s.
You've worked in both capacities. Resort, have you worked at an exclusively private club and then a municipal, or just resort and then the municipal course?
I was resort in Phoenix, and when I came back to Chicago, I was at a municipal Springbrook Golf Course, and after the landscaping company, I went to the sister course of Springbrook called Naperbrook, and also a Park District Golf Course, and That's when I ended up at Bolingbrook. Gotcha. But yeah, never a full private. I don't know how much I'd survive at a private club. I'd probably be ousted pretty quick.
Yeah, I could see that.
Tell me about the landscaping business.
So it all started. So I used to clear driveways in the winters. Yeah, all with right. a buddy of mine, and he owned a company, and we would talk all the time about what it would take to get started, and so on and so forth. And my wife, actually, I'll make a long story short. She fell down the stairs, broke her back. She's fine. Oofed. But we were, you know, in the ER, we didn't know she was fine. So we were talking about, you know, are we happy? Are we doing what we want to be doing? And so then I left the golf business, and that's when I decided to, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to start this landscape company. And I still joke that the first year I would have probably started making money is when I got back into golf. So
it was taking off, and you were like, we got to start making money. You
know? I think year four would have been pretty good, and I went back into
golf. How deep was that landscaping? Is it just?
I mean, it was, you know, for what I did was I, you know, mainly just lawn maintenance is how I started, you know, mowing lawns, and I had the trailer, I had all the tools, I went out and bought all that stuff, so I looked legit.
3 years you did that?
3 years I did that, and in all the while, I was trying to find a very specific role back in golf. I was looking to try to teach somewhere, and nothing was panning out, and a spot opened up at the sister course for the course I was at, and I decided to go for it, and got that one, and I said, okay, I'm back in the business. It's a good place to get the rust off, because I knew the course, I knew the staff, I knew everybody there, and close to home. And then, the difference was, at Springbrook, I was kind of just hoping for the next year to be a full-time employee, hoping I'd get full-time. Mm-hmm. At Naperbrook, I was, and I thought, okay, I'm going to be more aggressive in finding my next role, you know, from here. So
these golf courses sound like TV shows, don't they?
Springbrook. Yeah.
And would you be an assistant then, or did you go straight in as a...
I was an assistant at Naperbrook, the first assistant at Naperbrook, rather. And when I went to Bolingbrook, I was the first assistant and got the head professional position there probably about 2 years after I started.
What would be... Because I really don't know. I've known golf pros all my life. I don't really know what they do. Like, give us an assistant. If you're the first assistant, like, what's your day-to-day?
You know, you're in the shop, you're answering phones, you're, you know, at Bolingbrook specifically, I'm helping members, you know, get whatever they need, and merchandising and cart fleet management, you know, just it's the day-to-day operation really is that's the resume answer, right?
Everything apart from playing golf.
Yeah, exactly right. That's 100%
correct. And
managing
your staff, right? I mean, you're absolutely managing your staff, I mean.
I always, you know, if they're not happy, then it's not going to go well. So that's a big priority of mine is to make sure that they're good to go.
What's more difficult, the golfers or the staff?
That's golfers by 100%.
Oh.
Yeah, what is the clientele at Bolingbrook? Are you more blue-collar, or what kind of people are playing your course?
We have probably, I mean, upper-middle class, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, we're well over $100 to play, so it's, you know, for that area, that's a little bit higher. So a lot of people come to our course and they treat it like that's the special round of the year.
Oh, okay.
You know, we always kind of joke. Well, I mean, it's not that great.
So there's not
you can come more often if you want.
There's not a bunch of riffraff. I mean, you got to have a little riffraff here.
There's
and there.
Definitely riffraff.
Any good stories or like crazy things you've seen at your golf course, like riffraff fights, you know?
We've had
golfers. Yeah.
We had a fight last year, even though everybody that was involved with it denied that there was a fight, but we've had.
Over
we had multiple
bed,
people. It was, you know, once it was slow play. You know, there's the group behind them was hitting into them, and they met up on a tee. They started jawing a little bit, and one of our members actually jacked a guy in the other group. And you know, we got phone calls because there's a couple neighborhoods around the club, and we got a call from them, and hey, you got guys fighting on the course, you know? And we've run out there, and everyone's like, no, I mean, we were yelling at each other, but nothing else happened. It's like, okay, I mean. It's not what I'm hearing, but you know,
fun times.
Yeah, and we've had it's been a lot of interesting things. One morning, this guy, my assistant, comes in and he's like, "Hey, Dave, you need to come out here and check this out." And I go out there, and it's just this guy's kind of all wet. You know, I'm like, it's very odd looking. You know, for 9:30 in the morning or whatever it was, and he woke up in the rough on our 18th hole. Has no recollection of how he got there. Jeez. Didn't have a phone. Didn't have his wallet. He says he feels like he remembers someone throwing his stuff in the pond. And it was just, you know, that's all he had, a real thick Russian accent. Wow. And I'm thinking, man, well, this, you know.
Sure wasn't Scottish.
Let's not get involved with this. Russian mob dumped this guy out here.
That happened to me at the other brook.
Gotcha.
It wasn't Springbrook. It was Bottle Brook.
Yeah. We've had it all. We've had carts through the fence line. We've had carts in bunkers, carts in ponds. You know,
nothing surprises you.
Nothing surprises me much
anymore.
Are there any
houses around the course?
Yeah, we have three neighborhoods. We have one that's kind of large single-family homes, and there's a section that's got large townhomes.
And the houses are on the course?
Yeah, yeah, just three holes. It's our third hole, fifth hole, and 15.
Where do you stand on golf ball making damage, causing damage
to
houses? Breaking
a window, yeah.
I always say, if you did hit that ball, the right thing to do is for you to at least discuss that with the homeowner. You two don't want to work it out or something like that, don't make me the judge and jury. But the house is on the course. It's going
to
happen.
You ever hear the expression? There's three sides to every story. Yes. You know, his, and the truth. So there's the right decision, the wrong decision, and the wise decision. So yes, if you hit the golf ball and cause damage, you should go and at least say, here, listen, it was me. But technically, does your course have a policy on it?
No, we don't, actually. No. I mean, golfer's responsible, but the thing is, if the golfer doesn't hone up to it, what do you do? I mean, it's hard to just say, no, we know you did hit it, when if they're all saying no, it's hard to... I didn't see it, so it's difficult. It's a tough spot.
I heard of a story once where the guy actually had the logo of his company on the ball and denied it was him.
It's like those idiots that put their phone number on the ball. If you find this ball, call. Yeah, yeah. Don't be hitting that one through the window.
A lot of courses in Scotland will add 50 pence. 50 pence is probably about 70 cents of every tee time goes towards the insurance policy, and the golf course will pay for that.
Really?
Interesting idea.
And there was a guy... who, a regular listener, he was getting very, very hot around the collar a few weeks ago talking about this very thing, because his car got damaged or his house got damaged. And I said, well, when was the house built? It was after the fact.
There you go.
He says, well, really, technically, by the law, you're responsible. But, it really is. If you're going to live in a golf course, what'd you expect?
In most of our homes that are on our course are set back fairly deep. So if you do hit a home, I mean, it's a big miss, but so it doesn't happen a lot, but it happens. There's no question.
Is there a lot of corporate groups and events, tournaments at your course? Do you close on Mondays to play to bring in revenue for corporate groups?
Yeah, a lot might be a strong word, but we do probably 25 events a year, full field shotguns, and that's where the wild comes out. Those are
open bar drinking.
Tons of alcohol on the golf course, It's funny. I mean, because you see guys, they'll come finish their round and they can't, they look like the Phoenix Open guys where they're walking stumbling, on a 45-degree angle. And it's like,
what's wrong with that?
You were out there 4 hours.
Then they get in their car and drive home, yeah.
Yeah. And we've learned to spot those guys, and we suggest Ubers, and we'll talk to the coordinators of the event and things like that. But it's comical. I mean, we've had – and I will be honest, it's always the volunteers.
The volunteers that get wasted?
There's always one that's just, here's a good story if we have time.
We do.
So, Naperbrook, Timmy Dunn is their head pro. He's a good buddy of mine. He calls me one day, and I'm upstairs. The outing's done playing. They're moving upstairs, and he says, hey, I got a good one for you. And I'm like, what? He goes, I got one of your carts in our circle drive. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, some lady just showed up, no shoes, no phone, no nothing. She's, blitzed, and she's just yelling at everybody that I just need to get stuff out of the, I'm just here to get stuff out of the truck. I'm just here to get stuff out of the truck. That golf course is a half a mile from us. So she had to go down a couple, regular roads to get there, and didn't pick up on it that she, maybe she's gone too far. But that was a good one.
You've managed a lot of professionals, cart staff people.
Yeah.
Beverage car. How many have you had to fire many people in your career?
No, not really. Just a couple. One of them, and it was awful. I felt so bad. The kid, so we take our cart, our range is double-sided. Mm-hmm. On our end, we or the main clubhouse side, we need to go down every now and then to our golf academy, fill up our ball cart. And when he was backing it up to the doors, he instead of hitting the gas, he hit, or instead of hitting the brake, he hit the gas and rammed the doors. And my GM was livid. And he's like, I don't care. Get him out of here. You know, I'm done with these mistakes and everything. And the kid was crying. It was an awful termination, in my opinion. But
how old was he?
You got to do it. He was
41.
It was BJ. No, he was, you know, he's a young kid, senior in high school, maybe a freshman in college or something like that.
That's
but
hard.
He was crushed.
Yeah. It's character building.
It was.
I mean, you got to know the difference. And saying that, I was in the garage the other day. Nearly did the same thing.
Yeah, it can happen, right?
Exactly, yeah. It can happen to the best of us.
It's funny. You can back a cart into that and get fired, but you could do like 1,000 times worse as a caddy and never get canned in your whole life. Like that is nothing compared to what some of our caddies do in their salvage jobs.
100%.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, smoking weed directly in front of the players, offering them weed on the tee box. Yeah.
Oh, it's your boy.
You know? Caesar, baby.
That's Sabo's new boy.
He is my boy. That's my boy, Caesar. I love Caesar.
Hooking him up with Aggie, what do you call it, Aggie Tuna?
Ahi Tuna, yeah. Ahi Tuna. Seared Ahi Tuna. And, oh, man, Caesar the man.
Boys, we're going to take a wee break now because we're halfway through. We're now going to play a little advert from our sponsor.
Big Game Golf.
Are you a caddy who sometimes gets bored in the job? Are you struggling to stay engaged with your players on the golf course? If this is you, you need to download the Big Game Golf app today. Not only can you use the app when playing golf yourself, but the app is a fantastic tool to stay engaged with your players while doing your job. Whether you're keeping score using the e-scorecard feature or introducing your players to one of the over 30 money games on offer, the app will offer both you and your players a more fun and engaging experience on the course. The Big Game Golf app is free to download, easy to use, and it also integrates with the USGA to automatically pull players' handicaps. You can even text everyone the final results. The extra effort on your part may even help boost your tip, and please find me a caddy who wouldn't be interested in that. Start today and download the Big Game Golf app.
Dave,
as a pro, is there a use for Big Game Golf in your industry?
Absolutely. Our men's club at Bolingbrook plays every Saturday and Sunday, and, and all the game, you know, it's a different game every week. It's the same players, obviously. Saves them a tremendous amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, and they can, the arguments are over. There's no griping, you know, it's all that good stuff. And
I don't know if the arguments will ever be over.
That's
right?
Fair.
Because we're golfers.
You know, less to argue about. Though.
Less I to mean, argue
there's,
right.
There's actual concrete proof of this is how much money you owe me.
Yeah.
You still didn't make a five. You made a seven. You didn't make a five. Yeah, but this is how much money you owe me.
But absolutely. I mean, it's a valuable tool. No question about it.
Yeah. No, fantastic. Thank you to the boys. And I'm sure the new app is literally weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
You said the most frustrating thing about your job then, golfers.
Golfers.
Yes. Give us three or four things about golfers that you just, every single day it happens. Like
drives you nuts.
As caddies, we deal with it. Same thing. So
it's the lack of just respect, common decency to know that you are not the only group on the golf course, and that there's
preach it.
You know these guys. I always call them the you know I paid my money brigade. You know, so did everybody else. You know, and I mean we've had groups or these one group in particular. They took 3 hours to play the front nine, and while they were letting groups go, you know, around them, it was great. But it was like, guys, you know, maybe we call it a day. Huh? Yeah. You know, I mean, 3 hours for nine holes, they were hammered, you know, and they
just
were...
can't handle it.
I will give it. I'll tip my cat to them. They were like, okay, that's fine. Probably a good call. And but, yeah, the common decency is just there's zero, you know. The players, the groups that... We've had groups come into our restaurant at the turn, sit down, full order their lunch... Mm-hmm. And they're there 40 minutes, and then they just shoot to the 10th tee.
There's time.
Yeah, if the time allows.
Can I have a box to go?
I need a bacon cheeseburger. Extra bacon.
And then, and actually something I learned on this trip, you know, move forward. You'll have a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was didn't realize I was being 50 years old, I was a white tee guy this trip.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he gave me the
I
mobile
was goaded
scoring.
Into going
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, he's like, no, I'm going to play the goals. I'm like, look, you're playing a tournament for money. if they're going to allow you to play this tee, let's shoot a better number. Let's move up a tee and shoot a better number.
Yeah. Yeah. When you shot 85, no one's going to ask what tees you played.
Almost. Yeah, right. That's right.
True.
Exactly. Yeah. But I know. Okay.
But I think if everybody would just understand that there's a lot of people to get around the golf course, and think of other people for 5 minutes, I think everything would be a little smoother.
Life in general, mate.
That's true. That's very
not the only person in the world.
Yeah. That's a society that we've become.
It's true.
I'm going to disagree with you though on the going in for lunch thing. That's no problem at all for me.
Why is that?
Well, go in 40 minutes. The groups just keep going through, and then just slot back in.
Yeah, just that doesn't happen though where we are.
It doesn't happen where we are.
Well, people stop for lunch, but the marshal just like runs in there and ushers them along when they're 20 minutes behind and the group's clear on the next screen, but they're not going to let the group behind them too because they don't want to mix match the groups. They
That whole thing where you nearly get sacked for jumping the group.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, we did the right thing. We did the right thing though.
But what's the problem with that?
No problem.
In Scotland, we would, you know, growing up where I did, we'd have a lot of public play. And then you'd also have the members. And the public were obviously slower. We just step aside, folks. Look for your ball. Great. Yeah. Just let you through. Right. There was no difference to the pace of play. It's a cultural difference to America to here.
It is. There's resentment when you let somebody through.
Yeah.
There is. Everybody's like, no. We'll just play faster. We just won't care. And we'll just do what we're doing. I mean.
Yeah. It's amazing the dynamic of golfers. Where I've always said everyone's an asshole from 100 yards on a golf course.
Yes.
And then they find out they went to the same school. And all of a sudden, they're best friends. But there'll be the one where the group ahead are slow, so we'll just stay on top of them, as opposed to just maybe drop in at third and just enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, start hitting into them a little, you know.
Right.
They're just in range, but maybe they'll hear this and look back and realize we're right on their tails.
Yeah. Oh, we had a belter the other day, actually. We were getting pushed. Myself and Eddie are working a job. Mm-hmm. We're at the wee course. We're on the seventh. Now, the group behind, they're caddies from a different course. I know they've followed. You know what I mean? So they've been with them before.
Yeah.
They're having a serious match, I can tell. After, on day two, by the seventh hole, you know how good your players are.
You know how far they hit it.
Yeah. So we're on seven, and we know how wet it is. Our boys have hit our second shots, 225 out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's about 300 from the tee, 310. And all of a sudden, I'm turning to talk to wee Eddie. Whoopsh. This ball flies over his head. Right, missed him by about. Listen, it's Eddie. It wouldn't have done much damage, okay?
Not much there, yeah.
But it flies over his head, two feet from his head. It plugs right in front of him. And after the initial, wow, we're looking back. I throw my hands up in the air. He pulls the ball out. And he like cleans it. I says, I hope you're putting that in your pocket. And he said, oh, good idea. So he took the ball.
Okay, good for Eddie.
Because I'm like, no, you don't do that.
Yeah. That's
so we now go in the green.
And Where's my ball?
We see them all looking for the ball.
Yeah.
And it was classic.
It's right in the middle of the fairway.
I don't think they're going to find that ball.
Yeah.
It was classic. We told the players. I said, they won't find that ball.
Lost why
that?
Hall.
I said, because it's in Eddie's bib.
Yeah, perfect.
But yeah, no, it's this. Just accept the pace of play it is for the day.
Yes.
And do you have marshals at the course that will keep things?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've asked a lot of groups that, you know, hey, can you go to the fairway on 12 or skip 12 altogether. And
that's
most,
a good way to do it.
A lot of people are a little upset, but very many are cooperative too. And that goes a long way. The problem is then you just have a rubber band behind it. And you don't totally regain good pace, but you've made an effort. There's no doubt.
Is there a demographic for your marshals? Are they all retired?
They're all retired.
Want free golf.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. We probably have a lot of employees that don't even play golf, and
it's probably not,
which
a bad
is
thing.
Great. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. You know, if kids come to me and say I'm on the golf team, that's wonderful. But at the same time, I know there's going to be a range rat. They're going to play a ton of golf, which I'm not against. But you know, when they tell me I can't work Tuesday, and then they're on the first tee at 10:30, I have that bothers me. But
that's funny.
But they're all good guys, and I always say that they have probably the toughest job on the golf course, in my opinion.
Do you do any training with them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we talk a lot about verbiage to use and how to approach groups because it's a difficult situation. You know, you just paid $140 or whatever, and now we're asking you to skip holes, and you know, it doesn't always go over great, but we do a pretty good job at it, I hope.
I'm shocked. It seems that everywhere I've ever been, the marshals are all retired age, probably used to being some sort of form of authority, school teaching, mm-hmm. police, used to talk to people in a certain way. You ain't in the classroom anymore, right. Tom. And the training seems to be non-existent. As caddies, we learn how to talk to people.
Oh, some of it's atrocious. It's atrocious. The way they talk to, and you're talking, they're paying $140. Some of these guys are paying, $600, $700 right. and get talked to like they're getting talked to $600, $700, not including the rooms that they're paying $1,000 a night. So right. they're spending, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on a trip.
Yep.
And they're getting talked to like...
they're a child.
Exactly.
We were in the fourth hole wee course the other day. We're waiting in every shot. We're about an hour for the first three holes. We get done in the fourth green. The marshal's waiting there. He says, "Oh, listen, guys, just so you know, that I've moved that group along. They were really slow. You've fallen behind them now, so please keep up." I'm just thinking,
get out of here. Get out of here right now.
We're just waiting for them to get off the green. Do you even hear yourself?
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
When you go to other courses, are you literally watching everyone do their job and thinking, this is how I do it, that's how I just change
it? It's a curse of the job, for sure. I evaluate everything, I feel mm-hmm. And I try to be very cautious of being critical, because I know there's, I like to think anyway that behind the scenes, there's a lot of people trying to do some good work, and everybody's working hard and trying to do the right thing. And, mistakes happen. We're not perfect at Bolingbrook either, but, short answer, yes. I evaluate everything. My family can't stand it.
What's the club sandwich at your place like? Out of 10?
It's out of a 10?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm not a big club sandwich guy, but I do like our club sandwich. I'll give it a 7.5.
Really? That's low.
How's the carne asada at your local Chipotle?
Very consistent.
It's important to know.
I always, wherever I go, golf course, I always take the menu, I go through it, and I always end up with a club. I'll have a
perversion. He's a club sandwich kind of guy.
Yep, turkey club.
Yeah.
And do they offer coleslaw, onion rings, and fries? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good menu. It's a great restaurant.
Do you eat there every day?
Eat there more than I want to.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of tough, isn't
it? I was really disappointed when they got rid of breakfast back in 17 or something like that.
Darn it.
But it hurt. But
love a good breakfast.
It probably helped me a lot.
So, do you ever have caddies at the courses?
No, it's a difficult walking course.
That wouldn't matter. Just throw them in a cart.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, he texts me before he came in. He's like, "So what do you think? Should we throw them on a cart?" And I just kind of chuckled in my head. I was like, "Yes, we should throw him on a cart. Absolutely, we should throw him on a cart."
I told him, I said, "Mike liked it." So I'm like, I'm assuming that means he wants to, we'll take a cart. But
yeah.
And it was great. It worked out really well.
It worked out great.
I think everyone thinks the idea is, oh, yeah, we'll go on a 3-4 day golf trip and I'll walk. The reality is,
they're not used to walking.
Used to walking. Right. When was the last time you walked 28 miles, George?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to walk 3-4 days in a row. Right.
1977. Yeah. Get in the car, behave yourself, and you can walk up 18.
Exactly.
You don't worry.
We picked our spots, nice flat mm-hmm. downhill kind of.
Even if your course isn't walkable, it's take a cart.
Yeah, and we've talked about a caddy program, and when I first got there, we discussed it. Probably 2 years later, we discussed it, and it just hasn't taken off yet, but that's a nice addition, actually. I'd love to do it.
The way you would do it is you'd probably have, 12 guys?
Mm-hmm.
Locals, yes.
Small,
semi-retired, couple of kids, call in advance. Take the money in advance, though. Do you when people book a tee-off time, do you charge them over the phone or when they arrive?
Weekend mornings or prepay.
Prepay.
Yeah, but outside of that, no.
Yeah, you could do it where you take the base fee up front, so at least then they're committed. They can't just change their mind.
Are you trying to give our local program suggestions? Because they don't do that.
What could golfers do it to make your job easier?
Most people, what I love about it is most people are in a great mood when they show up, right? I mean, they're going to tee it up.
Typically,
you know what I mean?
That's true.
They're not going to the dentist office, you know, they're going to tee it up with friends or whatever, have some cocktails. But it's when things go south, it's difficult to convince someone who's half in the bag that, you're too slow or whatever it might be. And I just, that's I think would be a great maybe they could work one day in my life and mm-hmm. that would change their opinion on how things go on the golf course.
Mm-hmm. What's the mood of the people like once they finish the golf?
Are they still as happy as when they showed up?
Most times, yeah, but our course is much like, you know, it's wide open. So Arthur Hills, you know, kind of rolling hills, and it, when it's blowing hard.
Mm-hmm. And it gets windy.
It beats people up pretty good. So they're tired. They're, you know, wow, man, that was a tough round, and our greens are a lot of undulation to them. But yeah, they're, you know, usually they're in a pretty good mood.
How many green staff do you have working?
He had 17, I think, full-timers.
On one course?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I was at Half Moon Bay, 23 full-time guys for two courses.
Jeez, that's not many.
It's because it's the plumbers union that own it.
The plumbers union owns the golf resort?
Yeah. Wow. They own the land.
That was a great podcast, by the way. That came out very good. I learned that I can actually drink out of the chemical tank, and not if I'm thirsty, I just drink a little out of the chemical, and I'll be fine.
Lesson don't drink out of the pond in 11 on the week course.
Yeah, a couple of people text me about that. I don't believe that you can drink the chemicals.
I know. He's like, oh, yeah, you drink it. I mean, it wouldn't taste good, but you wouldn't get sick. I was like, bro, I'm not drinking. And the white suit thing throws me off, too. I mean, I get that there's regulation in California, but, yeah, they're wearing a white suit for a reason.
Yeah, right.
Whenever I see those golf balls and they're covered in the green stuff, and you're all of Kip and I always talked about how three pairs of trainers he goes through a year.
Because those chemicals eat through the soles of your shoes. I 100% agree with him.
Oh, but don't worry, Zabo. It's okay for your gut.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Saying that, the food he eats, it probably is okay. It's true. Wash it down.
Iron stomach.
I was going to say, iron stomach. Mm-hmm. Trained.
Do you ever get many golfers coming into the shop and complaining about the condition of the course?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we've had members, they'll complain about the collars, you know, and it's like...
It's too long, it's too short.
You're right. And, you know, I've learned very quickly that a lot of those complaints come with their scorecard.
Yes.
And if they had a great round, the course is in perfect condition.
Great golf course. I love the course. Yeah. If you play well, it's a great golf course.
If they played awful, everything's wrong with the golf course out there.
The cup wasn't cut right.
How about that one where the guy... wanted all the cups painted.
Yeah.
And then, like, what?
Come on.
Really?
Every single cup on every single course.
Imagine getting that job.
Yeah.
36 holes, you got to go and paint the cups. And they change their whole locations at Half Moon Bay every day.
Every day.
Imagine doing 36 of those. Like, you'd literally...
Yep. That gets old. I could tell from his response, they don't paint the cups there. He was firmly against that.
I love him. He said, it doesn't matter what you do, the cup is going to get destroyed.
It doesn't matter, bro. Two groups through, it's done.
Well, we have the same thing when people talk about going to Scotland or Ireland. You say, what was your favourite course? And they'll say St Andrews or they'll say Carnoustie. And it's always because they shot the best number.
Yeah. Right.
It's never like, oh, yeah, I shot 105 at Crail.
Loved it.
But absolutely loved
great course.
Loved every swing.
The layout was just beautiful. Have you haven't played a lot of professional golf tournaments, but have you ever witnessed cheating by a professional and witnessed it to the point where it was uncomfortable, you had to call him out, like seeing him fluff a lie or write down a wrong score
in a professional event?
Yeah, have you seen any? I have not.
It
is a rarity, I think, among PGA pros, but it does happen. And
for sure, pretty, I mean, I know a lot of our guys in the section, and I feel like people would be called out pretty quick and exposed. Mm-hmm. Plus, that's another karma thing, right? I mean, if you're doing that, you know, that's
what are you
come
doing
back.
In your other life? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the that's going to come back to your life. You. Yeah,
in your private life.
Yeah, exactly.
Answers in a postcard. I think that these types of events we just played, though, 3 and 4 day pro-am type things, the gimme becomes a little more generous by the time you get towards the end.
Yeah, it definitely depends on the group. Like our group, we legitimately hold everything out.
Oh, of course, because Zabo was caddying. Yes, I made sure
it was.
Especially with the microphone.
Other than the other two guys, we were like, we're giving them everything. Because it's like, bro, yeah, just pick it up. You didn't find your ball back there anyways. You made an 8, so yeah. But, we hold everything out. I mean, one of us, it was a best ball thing, so we hold everything out.
Okay.
But I did see other groups just swiping. I'm standing there on 18 and see him on 6, and it's like 5 feet, and you just see the guy kick it away. He's like, oh, that's good.
Do you think that rules are important for amateur golfers?
I think there's a fine line there, right? There has to be some kind of a set of rules. I think it should be much, much simpler to understand, mm-hmm. number one, which I think they're trying to do. But still, you know, I love net double bogey, but mm-hmm. you can get a triple. Mm-hmm. So why call it, you know, I think net double bogey confuses people. But mm-hmm. Anyway, I think there needs to be some sort of set of rules that, that you play by, and but at the same time, don't get upset, right? You're not good enough. You know, isn't that, I've heard that on this a couple times, but
not
that,
from us.
No, yeah.
No chance.
Nobody's but,
you
know, good.
It's, you are going out there to have a good time. Uh-huh. So don't get too caught up in, should I drop here or over there, or should I take a penalty here? You know, I think it's, people lose sight of why they're on the golf course, which is to have a good time and hang out with people. I was telling a guy in our the hotel that I said, I'm a terrible golfer. You know, you guys would hate playing with me. And I said, that's not what it's about for most of us anyway. It's I'm in for whoever the foursome is and having a good time and learning a little bit about somebody through 18 holes of golf and just having fun. If you shoot 62 or 102, I really could care less.
On the front or the back?
Back. Oh, yeah, we saw it on the back yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
Well, yesterday was a war of attrition. Mm-hmm. Do you do anything at the club to help beginners, say, invite them, you know, they can pay to come and have drinks, something to eat, and then you could teach them rules and then do some putting or clinics like that?
We've done that in the past. Actually, we just talked about kind of revisiting that.
Who's we?
Me and myself and our staff.
Okay.
And our GM, we've talked to him about it. And, you know, having a little buffet breakfast, go over some of the basic rules and talk about etiquette and things like that. And then, you know, if it's nice enough, go out, have a clinic afterwards and have BJ kind of show everybody the ropes, and I think we're actually going to give it a go. That's about 2 weeks old. We've been talking about that. So
I like that.
Nice. Yeah, it'll be a good idea.
There's not enough help for beginners, I don't think.
True.
I think most of it is, again, like the money in the golf is for the elite.
Right.
The top players, and the beginners are sort of left behind.
That's true. I mean, we have quite a few clinics at our course that are dedicated to beginner golfers, and they, you know, those are the great lessons, because they're so excited, they can't believe they just hit that shot, you know, and that's very rewarding when you can get someone to do that, and it kind of hooks them in a little bit.
For sure, 100%.
And in your shop, do you have a full golf clubs merchandise?
Yeah, our shop's 2,200 square feet, and it's we carry FootJoy, Swannies, Nike. We have Bobby Jones in
Strix
there.
Strix on Cleveland.
We got Strix on in Cleveland.
What do you sell most? What's the most popular brands that you're selling?
Like outer, like soft goods? Or
yeah, soft.
Yeah, we sell a lot of FootJoys, right in the sweet spot for price point.
Yeah.
You know, we brought in Bobby Jones late last year. It did very well for us, so we're giving that another go. And Sun Ice rain gear has done pretty good for us.
What about golf balls?
Balls, we sell a lot of Strix on and the other one.
So typically, the old school clubs like Northeast, the pros would always own their pro shop, get 100%. And most clubs nowadays don't do that.
It's hard to find.
Do you get pieces of the pro shop, or is that?
I do not.
You do not. Yeah, that's all the club. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, gotcha. It's.
So there's really. Are you one of the buyers? Do you buy the goods? Or you do.
Yeah.
So that's just included in your salary. They don't expect to give you more for performance of the pro shop. Wow.
Correct.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That dynamic has really changed in the world of professional golf. Used to
big
be
time. And carts.
Bread and butter of the PGA Pro was owning the pro shop. Yeah. And carts.
And the cart fleet. Exactly. Yeah.
I spoke to a pro this week, and he had the most unique, probably like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. He owns everything in the shop, everything that is sort of tangible, i.e. not the golf course. He gets all of it.
Really?
He owns the carts. He owns everything in the shop.
Is he New England or New York?
New York.
Yep, there you go. It's still very standard up in that area. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. They make good money.
He makes a fortune.
Yep.
I believe it.
And because I've met people in the past and say, I'll get 15% of anything that comes through the shop. But he's in a nice little earner. You ever have someone shoplifting?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, we did, in fact.
Caught red-handed?
Yeah, twice.
Twice.
So once, same guy.
Same guy?
Yeah, at an outing.
He actually worked for us, yeah.
So the first time was before I was there, but he showed up and literally just walked in, grabbed a bag that had a full set of clubs in it, putter and everything, you know, kind of a display thing, and just walked on out. And, you know, our head pro was pretty savvy at the time, and he said he noticed it was gone, so he went to video and saw him and brought it to the attention of certain people or whatever, and that got resolved. But then you know, fast forward now about 4 or 5 years, he's got a full staff bag of Vokies. And he's in, he's out of the pro shop, and he's in, you know, like the entrance of the building and in between the doors.
Yeah.
And my assistant at the time, he happened to see him, like kind of just caught a piece of him leaving, mm-hmm. and went out there, and he's like, you know, can I help you? And he's like, oh, thought these were for the... thought these were the gift for the closest to the pin, you know? It's like, yeah, we're going to give you $8,000 in wedges to give away up there.
Jeez.
Hats off to the lads, you know, perseverance. You know what I mean? Never give up. There's
act
definitely
like you belong there,
That one got him. He was suspended from the golf shop for a long time.
You know, was he a member?
No, he's a local.
He's a local.
I'll just say that, yeah.
That'd be banning him from property.
That's insane.
He got pretty good talking to, from what I understand.
Well, boys, that brings us towards the end. Do we have any shout-outs you want to give out?
I got to shout-out my good friend Rick Nelson, who brought me and DT together here. I mean,
Ricky.
He's back there in Florida living his best life. Also got to shout-out BJ, our buddy BJ. Hopefully he's recovered from all the missed shots and not really cussing at himself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was quiet BJ last night, I'll tell you.
Was he? Yeah. A little reflective. Well, now he's got to go home, yeah.
A little side story. My best putt of the day, I whiffed hard, and
he was that guy. He was that guy. He goes, oh, F. He dropped the F bomb, and it was like, I don't know, 8-10 feet. It was moving, but it went right in the heart. I'm like, get out of here.
My apologies.
Good par.
Anyone you want to shout out?
I'd love to shout out my family for letting me chase this white ball around all these years and all that. And then I was going to shout out Ricky as well, and then just everybody out at the club.
Yeah, and remind us where the club is.
Bolingbrook, Illinois. It's about 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes south-southwest of the city.
Okay. Look them up. Go say hi to DT.
Uh-huh. And certainly mention the podcast. Go in there, and you will get zero off of your
$140.
you may get a free bucket of range balls.
Sure, sure.
I just want to say a shout-out to Sean, Coach McLaughlin, and his boys. There was Danny, who does a wee bit of carry. He says he carries at Shinnecock Hills. I don't believe... either of those guys, they both said they were caddies. Sean can't see the ball more than 50 yards.
Mm-hmm. And sounds like the guy we played with.
Yeah, right.
And he can't read a putt. So maybe he caddied.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That qualifies
him. You could get a job here.
for sure.
Danny, Richard, and then Bobby the Greek.
Bobby the Greek.
And Danny told me that his brother, who is a retired New York City homicide detective, is going to start listening. He's known as the Outlaw.
A homicide detective known as the Outlaw.
One of the issues with doing four caddies is you don't always get the time to get all these kind of stories.
You can't get
in.
All these connections and meet the people.
I would love to have heard more about that. But yeah, big shout out to them. And the Louisiana boys, if you're listening, you know who you are. So that brings us to an end. Dave, many thanks for your involvement.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Zabo, as always.
Thank you.
Tremendous. Safe journey home, Dave.
Yeah.
And just for the listeners, thanks for you for listening. If you're new, go back, listen to the catalogue, 127 previous episodes. If you have any questions for us, comments, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. But until the next time, many thanks for listening. Get out there, enjoy your golf, but more importantly,
keep it light out there, folks.